One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the dead have a way of getting attention from the living in the shower. Words of meaning come across a device as a friend tries to reach out to a deceased loved one during a paranormal investigation. And deep in the ravines and woods of a small town lurks the undead.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And of course, if you like this show, you'll definitely like the EPP bonus episodes we put out every single week exclusively for extra podcast people. You can get the preview of that on Thursdays, but to get the full episode and access to all 200 almost darn near 250 of them. Go to ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month gets you access to that. All the advanced episodes, e-copy of the book, and a whole bunch of other stuff there at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I should make a programming note here on the program. Such a radio thing to say.
Okay.
And now a programming note from our sponsor, Exonet sponsor. It's just us.
Yeah. Really.
A programming note for the programming department of the programming room at Real Ghost Stories Online programming department. Programming in there.
Makes you got it.
Every time you use programming in radio, it sounds more official.
Okay.
I don't know why, but we'll talk about that more. Jen's going to be on the show. As you know, she's been back for a little while now.
Yeah.
Once a week. But now you get, it's almost like the Double Mint Gum ad. Remember the Double Mint Gum ad?
Yeah.
Where there was like two of everything.
Uh-huh.
It's like double your pleasure, double your fun. With Wrigley's Double Mint Gum. Is that how it went? Or with Extra Double Mint? How did it go?
I don't know.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember it, but it's been a long time ago.
I'm surprised you don't know this. This is such a great song. I listen to it on my MP3 player all the time. Anyway, she will be on twice a week now.
Yeah.
Going forward. So welcome back for Double Your Pleasure, Double Your Fun. of ghost stories here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's good to be back.
So, yeah, we're just kind of, you know, getting things into the swing of the new year and how we're liking things going. And here you are.
Yeah.
Sean will be on kind of as like fill in and things mm-hmm. of that nature. So he's like not, you know, completely gone away or anything like that. But here we go.
Yeah.
So welcome back. And of course, Carol is on, you know, once a week as normal. So that's the only programming note of a change. When you work in radio, it was funny. The program director of a radio station is like the boss of mm-hmm. the format. And then when you're like just kind of doing the low paid shift where that has to do all the grunt work for everything, they would sometimes then give you a title of like assistant program director. Which basically means we're going to give you even more work and no extra pay.
Yeah.
But because we gave you that word program, it's like, oh my God. And then you're thinking like in the world of radio, this is a good title. This is impressive. And then you leave the world of radio or communicate to any other human being on this planet who does not work at a radio station. Like, what do? I'm the assistant program director. What the hell does that mean?
That's kind of the Dwight Schrute position of the radio station, isn't it?
Kind of.
Assistant to
It's not assistant to, it's just assistant.
Yeah, but you're kind of doing the shit stuff.
Kind of, but if the program director is like incapacitated for some reason, you become the program director.
Okay.
It's like vice president, kind of.
Which is kind of a dumb job.
Yeah, exactly.
Job
too. Yeah. You're hoping for someone to die. So you sit there and you're like, damn, I really hope the program director perishes and then I can have the job. And then eventually they do. And then they're like, well, we're going to set out a nationwide search for a new program director.
Yeah, you're not good enough to take the full time.
You don't get it.
Yep. Gig, yeah.
So all those, I was just for years praying for people to perish and I'm kidding.
You didn't want to be the boss.
No, I mean, I did for a while when I was younger, and then it actually happened where the program director left. Nobody's perished.
Okay.
But it sounds more fun. But I've had that many times where they leave mm-hmm. and then you're suddenly in charge. And I was like that in that position for many a month, almost a year straight as the assistant, but in the main job because mm-hmm. they couldn't find somebody. Not paying me anything extra. And it was hell on earth.
I bet.
It was just, and it's back when radio stations had staffs too. And so you had to like manage somebody being in this room 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the air. And I don't want to keep going on this, but radio people, not usually the most reliable in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of like, I can't make it in today. Well, why? And, you know, they were out at the club gig last night mm-hmm. till 3 a.m., but still they're expected to be there at 9 mm-hmm. for their shift. And then if you're that person, you're the director, you're the one who has to go in and fill in. And I just kind of said, screw this at some point. So there you go.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, hey, guys, I wrote to you a while back about the paranormal experiences that I had while taking a shower. I had another story that I thought I should share. This all happened when I was about 10 years old. It started out innocent enough, me being a little kid with their imaginary friend. And then one day, this friend of mine started physically interacting with me, talking to me, appearing in front of me, and even one time imitating my mother. I was alone one day after school. My parents both worked long hours, so I was usually alone for part of the afternoon. I was sitting in the living room. I wasn't feeling right for some reason that particular day. Kept getting the feeling that I was being watched. I decided to do the dumbest thing I ever could have done. Called out loud. So, is anyone here? Do you want me to tell you about my day at school? Like I said, I thought this was just an imaginary friend. So when I heard no in response, I kind of freaked out on the inside. I asked, where are you? And I heard, behind you in response. At that point, I knew I should have just avoided the living room. So I ran into the kitchen. It honestly felt like I was being chased as I ran, which really freaks me out even now. After that, things got weird. I'd start ending up in a room that I didn't recall going into. Things of mine started going missing, only to show up later in another spot that I'd already checked, and I started to get really ill and throw up whenever I tried to eat. However, all of this would only happen when I was at home, never at school or at a friend's house, only home. So after about a month of this, I was getting scared. I was aware of the paranormal, so I knew what could be happening. I decided to tell this thing to leave me alone. Okay, I shouldn't have done that, but I was a kid. So that night, I tell this thing as I lay in bed, okay, please leave me alone. I don't know what you want, but I can't help you. After I fall asleep, feeling watched as hell, I'm amazed that I feel okay. No nausea or anything. That didn't last long because after falling asleep, I was woken up later by this shaking sensation. I was freaking the hell out because all of a sudden, there's this black shadow with this menacing smile on its face staring at me. I can't move. I can't even scream. And I'm thinking, oh my God, is this a monster? So the shadow asks, do you want to be my friend? And I can't say a word. I'm shutting my eyes, telling myself to fall asleep. And next thing I know, I'm standing in my kitchen. Then, without any control of myself, I'm watching myself open the kitchen drawer and take out a kitchen knife. I'm screaming, but I can't move my mouth. And then I hear the shadow voice again. It tells me, will you be my friend? Obviously, I say no. And then this thing is furious with me. It's screaming at me, do it. You're a chicken, over and over. And I'm shaking, just thinking, what in the world is happening right now? Is this a nightmare? So I run away with a knife, running all the way around my kitchen table and getting this horrible feeling this thing is chasing me. And I hide the knife under a placemat. I jump up thinking it was all a dream, and now I'm back in my bed like nothing happened. As I close my eyes, I feel this pain like someone is literally sitting on me. I could feel his hands on my collarbone, and I could feel knees on my thighs. I tried to keep my eyes closed, but this thing literally forced them open. You will look at me, it said. So I'm terrified, and again, I can't move. Just remember thinking, I don't want to die. I really don't want to die. This thing is literally taunting me, calling me chicken again, and asking why I wouldn't do it. I just keep trying to close my eyes, not answering. Finally, after who knows how long, it goes away. I wake up the next morning, but something is really wrong. My head is spinning, and I'm literally so dizzy, it looks like I'm spinning in a circle when I try to open my eyes. So as I go into the kitchen to tell my mom that I'm sick, she goes, where did my knife go? So freaking out, I go to the kitchen table, and there it is under the placemat. I don't know if it was a demon or maybe just a sleep paralysis with a paranormal experience mixed in. Ever since I moved, nothing has happened. Thank you for taking the time to hear my story. I hope it wasn't too long. I love your show, and I plan on becoming an EPP again this month.
There's definitely elements of sleep paralysis in that, but it's more than that. I mean, with the finding the knife, that actually did happen last night. And I don't know. I think it's more than sleep paralysis.
It's sleep paralysis with a better variety of demonic possession.
Okay.
For your work day. It's weird. It is. It's like one of those things where, you know, like sleep paralysis, we talk about someone not having control over, you know, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or what they're feeling. And they're just, you know, in that state and they're stuck. This, a good portion of it, they didn't have control over their actions, but they were being moved like a marionette, if you will, and then, you know, to possibly do something horrible, and then somehow eventually snapping out of it and getting out of it. I was wondering as I was reading it and waiting to find out, okay, did they just then wake up and then, okay, that was just a really bad dream? But obviously that's one of those stories where you can connect what they thought was a dream to reality, and it wasn't a dream at all. They were actually out there, you know, doing that.
Right.
I mean, I suppose you could also make the argument of, did they actually do that, or was this literally somehow manipulated out there, and they saw this happening, and they experienced this as like a ghostly thing, moving objects? I don't know. It seems more like they were probably doing it.
Yeah, I think they were being the manipulated object.
Yeah. So, something like that, I don't know how you handle it. It's good to know that they, once they moved, it stopped. But it obviously sounds like there's something in that house that has some sort of nefarious intent. I'd be curious to know if anyone else in that house has had anything happen to them and just haven't discussed it. I think that'd be an interesting question. I wonder if they've ever brought it up to their family members.
I don't know.
Be a great thing to bring up over Easter.
Right.
Over the ham or something. Hey, it's great ham. We can do the Easter egg hunt later. Yeah, that'll be great. Ooh, I love those Cadbury eggs. How about you? Hey, have you ever been possessed and had something try and manipulate your hands to stab yourself in the kitchen right over there? I did the other night. Those are great yams, Aunt Ruth.
Okay.
That's how that
Yeah.
You just, line of thought, you just kind of keep going and see if anybody catches on. And so I do it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Have you ever had that at a holiday gathering? And I don't know how many holiday gatherings you had as a kid with family members around. I don't know that we've talked about that much. I mean, we've talked about some, mm-hmm. but we would have, you know, typically like aunts and uncles, but they all like lived in town.
Sure.
So it was, you know, more apt to do that. Usually we go out to eat. Usually we didn't go to someone's house on Easter. Easter was usually like goes to a restaurant or something. But Thanksgiving, Christmas, usually a get-together of some sort. Did you ever have any moments where it was just like totally uncomfortable holiday conversations? Not necessarily talking about, you know, ghosts making you possessed do something, but just like, where the hell did that come from?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an on-the-spot question that you may like later go, oh my God, I remember one.
I can't think of any off the top of my head. No. We had an awkward... We had an awkward moment once. It was right after my grandmother died, and my cousins, who were a lot older than me, were there.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, we were all kind of sitting around talking about her and being real quiet. And then one of my cousins walked into the room. It's like, you guys are quiet. Who died? It's like, Grandma did. God.
And they were using it just like a figure of speech.
Yeah.
And it came out before they could register. Oh, that's why we're all here.
That stands out to me. I mean, that's not like what you're talking about, but
sure.
We didn't have a whole lot of get the whole family together gatherings because most of my family can't get along. So we didn't have that.
No.
But we had some pretty awkward conversations just within my nuclear, you know, family.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So.
No. I can't put my finger on any specifically. I remember there's a constant running line that was always at like Christmas where they would be my mother has three sisters, and they would always be basically every moment that their mom, my grandma, would be out of the room for some reason. And this would happen typically in the basement at my grandmother's house at Christmas. She'd be always going up and down the stairs, bringing food down, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. She was hosting.
Sure.
So she was moving around quite a bit. And almost every time I remember, like, as she goes up the stairs, you know, then all four of the children hens are like, oh, my God. They'd be, like, questioning her mental status.
Oh, okay.
At the moment, like, I think she's forgetting things. I think so, too. And then, you know, she eventually did die of Alzheimer's or complications from. But this would be going on from, like, a very... like
sure.
20 years prior, you know, it would be like, and I don't know if that's just something that kids do where it's like, you're just going to sit there and always question the competency of your parents.
Yeah.
That might've been it, but it was always kind of funny because, and then the moment, like she starts, you see her legs coming down the stairs again. Whoop. Conversation stops. I suppose it's just, you know, it's kind of the dynamic of sisters.
Yeah, I guess so.
And how that works.
I don't have sisters, thankfully.
I don't know how that would work.
What?
If you had sisters.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how you would get along with.
I wouldn't. I don't think I would.
No.
Okay. No.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, I have countless paranormal experiences for as long as I can remember, some good, some bad. However, there's one particular situation that I'm hoping I can find a further explanation to. A very close friend of mine that I grew up with, who also lived with me off and on as kids, committed suicide a few years back. In respect to her family, I'll call her Shay. One night, my dad and I decided to mess around with the EVP session to see if anything was around, and that's when something interesting happened. We started with the basics, as anyone around who would like to say anything to us, and the meter spiked up very high, so we asked if they could tell us who they were. And we got a response, young, which didn't seem like a big deal at the moment, so we asked what happened to them, and the following responses were stick, closet, and don't forget. And this time, I got an overpowering sense that it was my friend talking to me, and I'll explain that reasoning further towards the end. So with my assumption of it being my friend, I asked her why she killed herself, and the response I got were, soul-crushing. Pushed, then let me out. When I asked who pushed her, she said, funeral, followed by July. She died on the 4th of July, and by this time I was positive I was talking to her. They had a small closet, and instead of the racks or built-in metal bar, she had an old broomstick for a clothes rack, which came to about chest height. And I don't believe that a teenage girl would or could easily hang herself in that sort of a space. And her boyfriend had a history of anger problems that led her to harm herself in other ways than going to the hospital. In my heart, I do not believe that she killed herself. Before Shay left, I asked if there was anything at all she had left to say, and the last response before the energy vanished was, I'm sorry. The very second I read that, my entire emotions turned to heavy sorrow, and I started crying as if I was feeling what she was trying to tell me. I'd love to hear your opinion on this, and if you too believe that I spoke to her, or if it was some strange coincidence. Love your podcast. Thanks for your time, and I hope to hear back from you.
I'd say it's possible it was her, but it's also possible it's something else that knows, you know, what you were dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to know for sure.
You know, it is hard to know exactly for sure. I'm asking, what are they getting at that it wasn't suicide? Like, logistically, was she saying that there was an accident or that she was murdered? What are you getting out of that story?
I'm getting murdered. Okay. Or that the boyfriend in a rage killed her, which could be considered an accidental killing, but not like premeditated.
And then made to look like
a suicide.
A suicide. Okay. Not that I like to mess around with things like that, but I think if I was in that situation and I got those answers, I'd be there like every day trying to get more details.
Yeah.
Because I would just be so curious as to what it was she was trying to communicate. That probably does give a little bit of closure, you know, or, you know, grim information that's, you know, I guess, you know, good information on a bad topic. Or a bad situation, just to know something that, well, maybe this wasn't what we all thought it was. But then what do you do with it?
But does it bring you closure, or does it reopen it?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it may answer a question of, you know, my friend doesn't seem like she would do this, mm-hmm. you know, but this happened. Maybe she didn't do, but yeah, you're right. It does kind of open a whole other Pandora's box of possibilities. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next one says the story takes place in an extremely small town. It consists of a locally owned gas station, a railroad track, and two roads that intersect right at the post office. That's it. Other than that, it's a lot of lands primarily used for livestock. Some of it is heavily wooded. There's a lot of these deep ravines running through the woods. And also, the old school that was converted into a town hall type of building stands there as well. The history of the area is pretty simple. It was where the children, the African-American children, were sent to go to school back when everything was segregated. There are a lot of old abandoned buildings that are falling down, made entirely of wood and dirt floors. It's quite a depressing place. My sister-in-law's dad had about 80 acres out there that he leased to cattle ranchers in a small mobile home with a shed that was used to process meat. They were big on deer hunting. But my brother, who I lived with at the time, moved out of the area. His father-in-law said he could put a house on the land and we could live there. Very good deal. So I lived on this big chunk of land with not much to do but ride my four-wheeler and go exploring in the woods and whatnot. We had two dogs and they would follow me everywhere. One day, while I was following the ravines deeper into the woods, I came across a clearing. The trees in the woods were ancient. I'm talking over 100 feet tall and had a diameter of 10 to 15 feet. They were massive, and they groaned when the wind blew. I loved how big they were, and I always thought of building the ultimate treehouse in one someday. The only thing was that they seemed to be rotting from the top down. Branches would fall all the time, and the wood was very porous, not sturdy at all. Anyway, I come to this clearing, which seemed very out of place. There was a decent-sized building slumped over in the center, with weeds and vines and tall grass all over. The Texas sun doesn't help plants thrive, so almost all this brush was dead and dry and itched as I walked through it to check out the building. By the time I got to the building, my socks were covered in dead seeds and grass. You know how it is. The building was made of wood. The roof had collapsed and there were no doors. Small gravel path led off back into the woods, and there was a rusty sheet metal sign in the front that I couldn't read because it was so corroded. I was skeptical about going inside because it was falling apart and there were banana spiders everywhere. Those big creepy yellow and black ones that make the zigzag pattern in their web. Then I thought to myself, wow, it's not every day you just find something like this in the middle of nowhere. So I carefully went inside. I was mostly walking on a powdery dirt floor, and there are piles of wood in places where the roof had caved in. I was enjoying my little adventure until I heard the distinct sound of laughter. Okay, who could that be? I knew there were no kids out there, as I had to walk a good way to get to this place. Went back outside into the hot sun and looked around, and nothing. No one at all. I shrugged it off and went back in. My dogs wouldn't go in with me. They kept sniffing around the outside and peeing on everything. When you first go in, there's a tall wooden counter near the wall with an old analog clock hanging on an old rusty nail covered in dust with a cracked face. I found some old papers that were so brittle, if you touched them, they would crumble into a dusty, powdery type substance. The papers were all faded and must have been written in pencil or something because I couldn't read much other than a letter here and there. There was an old metal bell sitting on the counter. It still worked, sort of. I continued through a doorway into what I assume was a theater or something. There was a small elevated platform that looked like a stage. It had a poorly made podium and a lot of scattered chairs that were knocked over. It smelled really bad in this room, like an old library or something. It wasn't pleasant at all. So I left and went into the room adjacent to the theater room. This is where it gets strange. I heard the laughter again and a light banging noise. I was very scared. I didn't know what to think, so I just kept going. When I walked into this area, it appeared to be a classroom. There was an old blackboard on the wall and a bunch of tiny wooden desks with scratches and stains on them. All of a sudden, I heard a light bang again, and my dog started to bark from the outside. I could see slivers of sunlight coming in through the gaps in the wood in the wall. Those gaps blacked out as if someone was walking by outside. I said hello loudly and asked if anyone was there, and I got no response. I started to get a little creeped out now. When I looked away from the wall, I noticed an eraser sitting on one of the desks. It wasn't there before. I turned around to leave, and I heard the light bang again. I turned to look, and the eraser was now on the ground under the chalkboard. Someone had just thrown the same eraser I was just looking at on the desk. It was my cue to leave. I started heading for the way out again, and that's when the banging started again repeatedly. I heard the laughter again, and as I looked back at the chalkboard, three or four erasers were floating and being pounded on the chalkboard like someone I couldn't see was holding them and playing around, making chalk dust. At this point, I'd seen enough. I ran for the way out as the laughing and banging got louder. My dogs were still barking with slight yelps at the end, as if they were calling for me to get out of there. When I got to the lobby area, the clock was spinning backwards. I saw the bright sun beaming through the doorframe and headed for it. There was a loud scream and crying as I rushed out of the building into the brush. I did not look back. My dogs ran to me, and we all ran off into the woods, and I followed the ravine back home. I told my sister-in-law where I was and what I saw, and she told me that she used to be a segregated school, and it was abandoned a long time ago. She told me that she and her friends would go back there when they were kids to see who could stay in there the longest at night without getting scared. I told her about the laughing and the chalkboard, and she confirmed that she had seen the same thing with the chalkboard and erasers years ago. I decided it would be best to not go there again. I feel bad that there are kids still trapped in that horrible space. They seem happy, though. Any ideas on why they could be stuck in their old school? And what could that figure have been that I saw through the cracks in the wall?
Okay, I think... As with any other haunted school, that sometimes kids go back to where they were happiest.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, maybe that's where they were happiest, playing with their friends, because they still seem happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, but I'm guessing. What do you think?
I don't think I'd go back to my school, but I think some other kids would.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that could be very much a thing, where it's you're seeking out... and this obviously, it's not uniform for all of the stories that we have, but I think there's a trend in several of them where it seems that when the ghost is there, it's back to a point in its life that it was happiest. Sometimes you have stories where it's an elderly individual and they see them back again in life and they look much younger, mm-hmm. like they're 40 years old and they're in a state in their life where they were happier and healthier. And I suppose for some, that could very easily be elementary school.
Yeah, especially if they happen to die as kids.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing. Seems to be in some cases where you're a ghost. You kind of get to play timeline, you know, choose your own adventure. Mm-hmm. Of, I'm going to go back to this time in my life. And I don't know if you just keep replaying it or if you just kind of back in that sort of state or what that is.
Yeah, it's hard to know, especially, you know, in an old school like that. It could easily be kids that, you know, died at some time in their childhood and they went back there.
Yeah. And if you do, of course, you know, die at that point in your life, I would imagine some of your happiest times is playing with your friends. Mm-hmm. So I think that could answer that. Thanks for sharing that story with us. That'd be a fun one to find in the middle of the woods.
That was very creepy imagery. I like that.
I like finding things in the woods.
I know you do.
Do you like finding things in the woods?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Like what?
Like a ghost town?
Yeah, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like to look just on Google Earth sometimes. I'll just kind of look around, especially around here. It's interesting because there are so many old like wagon trail roads that are out there that now sometimes are someone's driveway that go way back to their house back in the woods. And sometimes it's just this trail that is still there. And every once in a while, you can finally can tell, like, oh, there's a roof. That's how we found that one town was just like, why is there a roof in the middle of the woods out here? But there's interesting things and homesteads and such that are to be found out there. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to our next letter. It says this happened in an apartment in the daytime around 2 p.m. My daughter was getting ready to iron. She placed the ironing board in its position and was searching for the iron, which she already plugged in and turned on the iron. However, she could not find where she placed it. She kept searching and could not find it. Then she stopped and something made her look back. She told me a small boy handed the iron to her. The boy had the hot bottom of the iron placed on his hand and handed it to her. She took it, then she came to my room and told me what just happened. I asked her if she was afraid, and she said no, because he seemed very friendly. I asked people about the place. They told me there was a little boy that had died. However, he did not live in the apartment I was living in. This apartment and a few occurrences, there were a few occurrences in this apartment, but not many. One friend stopped by with her baby. The baby started staring at the hall wall. He was giggling and there was nothing on the wall, not even a picture. It was bare. My friend told me she thinks it was her late husband. I don't know what it was. I couldn't see it at any other time. Once a friend had slept over, I slept with my daughter. Suddenly she came into the room looking alarmed and she told me a past boyfriend who died in an assault came to her. She saw only half of the body floating. He just stared at her. The next day, her new boyfriend came over shaken and told us that during the night he saw a man floating and told him to take care of her and he'll be watching. How more coincidental can that get? Believe me, incredible things can happen here. In this building, there were a lot of talks about strange occurrences. A tenant moving from the first floor in this apartment, teenage kid was fine, but then seemed to be ill-looking, got very skinny. Then I heard it was due to strange things in the apartment. He seemed so weak. He said he'd hear voices, appliances would turn on, common ghostly activities. They bought the apartment, then they decided to sell it for cheaper and get out because the kid was deteriorating, hoping things would get better. That is why when one wants to seek new living houses or apartments, please look up information about the previous residents, if at all possible. One can avoid a lot of problems by looking at the history.
I think that's good advice if you can.
If it's there.
If it's there, yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, quite often, that's not the easiest thing to do.
Yeah.
I wonder if in the future, if it'll be easier to do that sort of thing just with, like, social media and such. You know, photos these days are, unless you turn the settings off, are geotagged. Mm-hmm. And quite often, you can look at a photo. And if you know how to do it, you can find out where that was taken geographically. Mm-hmm. And everybody has, you know, photos of their family gatherings and this and that. If at some point there'll be a way where you can then search photos in this location and then boom, you have like all these families that are in your house, if it's an old house. And that'd be really interesting. I think it'd be an incredible invasion of privacy.
Sure.
But I think interesting at the same point. But just to see like, oh, where was this in this part of the house or that part of the house, if it's an older property? And then you can kind of see like, oh, that's how they spent Christmas. You know, that there's an interesting aspect and a real creepy aspect of that. But I bet that'll be there.
You know, I could see that. I could see in the future it being easier to find that out.
I think we, meaning anyone, I think over the age of 30, maybe even a little bit younger, finds that concept to be very creepy and bizarre and like, what the hell? That's like, people shouldn't have that. But I think there's a whole other generation of people where social media and just sharing every aspect of your life is just such a totally accepted normal thing, just as breathing is, that that is going to kind of be the continuing trend, I think, for a long period of time to come. That if this were to be a thing in the future, a good chunk of the population is going to be like, yeah, so why not? What's wrong with that? Why is this even socially weird?
Yeah, I think I would find it socially weird, but I don't understand the openness everybody has, you know, with sharing every detail. I just don't, I can't do that. I just can't.
What you're going to end up having, you're like, oh, I'd love to find some pictures of the house. And all you end up finding is like 500 pictures of every teenage girl who ever lived in the house. Just with pouty lips looking into a mirror,
holding
a phone.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to see the house.
I know.
I don't want to see your duck face. Anyone going to look back on these photos someday? Are these young girls who are constantly doing the duck face, pouty lip photos of themselves holding the camera. Is anyone going to look back on this in 20 years going, that was vain as fuck?
Yeah, probably. I think it'll be up there with, why did people do that? Like, why did people take pictures of dead people? You know, it'll be up there.
You think so?
As far as socially unaccepted things in the future.
I hope so. I hope that's right up there with the dead people.
I hope so, too.
That would be great. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes of the show. You get all the advanced episodes, e-copy of the book. Lots of good stuff there for you at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.